This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and I trust the program encourages you, challenges you, and blesses you. And again, if you would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. And this program can be re-listened to there. There's a lot of other information on that website that you might find helpful. So I hope you will go to the website and make use of the information that's there. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we would love to hear your comments on the program or take prayer requests for you, and we would pray for those prayer requests specifically. So we pray that you'll make contact and make this conversation a two-way conversation. Now today I want to continue with the attributes of the Lord as given in the Bible. One word attributes, sometimes two words that are involved. Last time we looked at the Lord as counselor, and we were looking at Isaiah 9 and verse 6, which says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor or Miraculous Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so we looked at this miraculous or wonderful counselor last time. Today we want to look at the Lord as the Mighty God. And this is going to be interesting because, to me, when we think of the Lord Jesus, I always think of a man who came and died on a cross. I always think of his humiliation. And when we look at his humiliation, then we have to think of the fact that this was the one who created the universe, created us. He was the one who is really the Almighty. And while we know that there is confusion about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet as we look at God in the Old Testament, we find out that the original word God, Elohim, it seems to be plural, and the references in creation have to do with things that more than one did. And so we believe that the Trinity was very much in unison in the creation, but yet we believe that the Lord himself was the creator and the vehicle that did the creating in accordance with the will of the triune God. So these are things that are kind of mysterious to us, but they're wonderful as well, to think that the Almighty is also the one who went to the cross and allowed men to treat him so cruelly. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him, but he was wounded. The Almighty was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so he's the Mighty God. And if we were to go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary definition of the Mighty God, we would find he says it's the perfect and all-powerful spirit or being that is worshipped, especially by Christians, Jews, and Muslims, as the one who created and rules the universe. The New Testament confirms that Jesus is in fact the mighty, all-powerful God who created the universe. We read, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made." We read this in John's Gospel, chapter 1, that beautiful gospel that explains to us how God is revealing himself to the world. And so through the Lord Jesus Christ, who became a man, we also see the Almighty One who created all things. And again, this is reaffirmed for us in the book of Colossians, which says, "And for by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him, and notice this, and for him. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. And so he is the glue that makes this universe work. And we look at the Lord Jesus, and he was the Almighty One. He is the mighty God, and yet he's the one who was willing to die for us at the cross of Calvary. When we come to the Philippian epistle, we read who, being in the form of God, that is, he was the very essence of God. He did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, when you rob somebody, you're taking something that does not belong to you, but belongs to them. But he was not robbing God because he was not taking something that didn't belong to him. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And this is a beautiful passage. It's often referred to by those who are explaining who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. And when we look at this, we find out that God was, or the Lord was, emptying himself of his glory and of his and of all of the blessings and characteristics that go with being the Almighty God, in order to become a bondservant, and in order to become like men. In becoming like men, he understood us. He understood not only how we felt, he was touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We read in Hebrews, he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities, was in all points tested like we are, yet without sin. And he, as a man, he died on the cross. It wasn't like he was a Superman who did not feel or who could not understand what was happening. It wasn't like he had put superhuman strength in him so that he would not have to bear all of the sorrows of the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And that's a humiliating death. It's a cruel death. It's the ultimate rejection of men. It's the ultimate rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as their God. Those who crucified him were rejecting him, and they were mocking him. They said, "If you be Christ, the Son of God, come down from the cross." They said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." And that was so true. And so the Almighty, the Creator, allowed his creation to crucify him. But he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And while we look at that, we know that the cross was not the end. We know that he proved himself to be all that he claimed to be by being raised from the dead. And there's a day coming when he is going to reveal himself again as the Almighty One. But now it's not going to be as the humble servant, not as the one who didn't consider it a thing to be a thing of robbery, or to be taking a position that was not his, and in order to become this God, this man that was part of the Godhead. He became a servant, and now in a coming day, he's not going to be a man in that sense, or a servant in that sense. He says in the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." That's the A to Z of the Greek alphabet. "The beginning and the end," says the Lord. He's the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And so when we come to the book of the Revelation, we get the rest of the story. We find out that this one who was raised from the dead, this one who was crucified, this one who was despised and rejected, this one is going to come in glory, and he is going to establish a kingdom of righteousness, and he's going to judge those enemies that have rejected him. Those who die will end up in a sinner's hell if they reject him, and those who are alive at the time when the Lord comes are going to be subject to great punishments during the 7 years of tribulation. And while there will be many people during that 7 years who will come to the Lord and trust Him, yet those who constantly will not repent of their sins and continue in them and reject Him with a hard heart, the end result is going to be coming judgment, eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. And of course, while we're talking about the future, we know that today we too are in a position where we can either believe what God says about the Lord Jesus, and we can either thank God for sending His Son to die for us, or we can reject Him. And it will be a shame to have known all of this and to die and be cast into eternal conscious punishment, knowing likely in many cases the truth of John 3:16, how that God did so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And while that verse, the truth of that verse, if it is accepted and believed now, can save, it will just be a torment to those who know they could have been saved when the Lord comes, the Almighty comes, and when He judges the living and the dead, and He's going to do that. And so He says He's the Almighty. When we read in Revelation 19 and verse 15, we see, "Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations, and He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." And that's the Lord Jesus, because He sent His servant to testify these things in the book of the Revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of the Revelation shows that He did not lose His power. He did not lose His strength when He died at the cross. He's still the Almighty God. He was willing to bear the punishment that we deserve so that we could go free, because He loves us and He wants us for His own. He wants us in that New Jerusalem enjoying the presence, His presence forever. But at the same time, He's going to come as one who rules with a rod of iron and treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Do you think God ever gets angry? People have said, no, God isn't an angry God, and He isn't right now, but He is angry with the wicked every day. And if you die without Christ, He'll show His anger and His wrath to you. And for the nations that reject Him, they're going to also suffer under the mighty hand of Almighty God, and they're going to see His wrath in a coming day. Now, the only reason I go through this is so that you understand that when the Lord died at the cross, it was your Creator, your God, that died there for you, and He died there for me. And I just thank the Lord for all that He has done as our Creator. He owned us by the first creation, and when Adam and Eve fell, separation came in, and through the work of the cross, the Almighty has bought us back, and now He really owns those who trust Him the second time through the new creation. And friend, there's nothing like knowing for sure that your future is secure and that the Lord has died for you. I know that the Lord has died for me. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson today. We thank You for salvation through faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.